started as a thought in the mind of an individual. Before an inventor ever, before an invention ever becomes a reality, it starts in the mind of an inventor. You never see an invention, the light bulb, the car, the airplane. It doesn't just happen. It begins as a thought in the mind of a person. The thoughts of an inventor will determine the outcome of the invention. The way that an inventor thinks will determine how an invention is going to be. I think that's common knowledge. None of us would say a light was just invented by accident, or an airplane was invented by accident, or a car was invented by accident. It's obvious. We would know that there was some thought process that went into that. We would know that before that ever happened, it first began in the mind of an inventor. The iPod, the iPad, the iPhone, all these modern conveniences that we love, the computer, the laptop, they all first started in the mind of an individual. And we would never have them today if the thought never came across a person's mind. The thoughts of a person's life determines the outcome of their life. The direction of a Christian's thoughts will be the direction of a Christian's life. The direction of your thoughts will be the direction of your life. Right thoughts, right living. Wrong thoughts, wrong living. We turn to Romans chapter 12, very much a mountain peak in the scriptures, a very key part of our Bible. We see that God tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. God says he wants us to be holy. God says he wants us to live our lives in a way that's not going to be conformed to the world. And that's very common. We know that we're saved Christians. But the only way that we're really going to have true change in our lives, the only way we're really going to be changed, the only way we're really going to be able to present our bodies a living sacrifice is as verse 2 says, we are transformed in our thinking. You see, true change in our lives will never take place until we change the way we think. Every Christian in this room that's going to say, I want to live for Jesus Christ, I want to live a victorious Christian life, must first win a battle. If you don't win the battle in your mind, you will never live a victorious Christian life. There are three truths to consider in winning the battle of the mind as we look at the passage tonight. I see, first of all, the principle. Notice the principle is thoughts produce actions. In verse number 1, God commands us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. He tells us not to be conformed to the world. He tells us he wants saved people to be different, and he wants us to do that. We're only going to do that through the renewing of our minds. Those, first of all, right thoughts produce right actions. Right thoughts produce right actions. Everything we do in life first begins in our minds. Some decisions may be made in a split second. Some people may contemplate things, maybe for days or weeks or months. Should I take this job? Where should I apply for a job at? Should I have this situation in my family? Should I rent this home? Many people, we all make decisions. We all have a thought process. Some decisions are made quickly. I'm going to change that lane real quick. I need to get over on that exit. But some decisions are made over a long period of time. Some people think police are out to get them, so they simply stay away from police. Some people think that they don't need God, so what do? They stay away from church. Some people think that if they inflict pain on their body, somehow they're going to get the merit of God in their lives. So they spend their entire life hurting their bodies, hurting their physical being, so they can get the favor of God. You see, the thought in a person's mind will determine their actions. The word transform in verse number 2 is the same as the word transfigure in Matthew chapter 17 too. It comes from a Greek word meaning metamorphosis, which is, as we know, as we see a butterfly or an insect, it's a change of the mind. A metamorphosis is a change from what we once were to what we are. And God says this. God says our minds must be transformed. Because if verse 2, if our minds aren't transformed, we will never go back to verse 1, and I will never be able to present my body a living sacrifice. Verse 2, the renewing of our mind is so key. Because we will never do verse 1, present our bodies, until we do verse 2. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it's in your outline, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the former lifestyle, the lifestyle of an unsaved person, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be how? And be renewed in the spirit of your actions. Be renewed in the spirit of your serving God. Doesn't say that. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, the Christians in Ephesus here, they needed to put away the old things. They needed to put away the things that they were doing before they were saved. And the Apostle Paul is preaching to them. He's ministering to them. He's loving them. He's trying to say, look, you need to put away these things. You need to get away from the old lifestyle, the things you used to do. But he says, this is how it's going to happen in verse 23. You must be renewed in your minds. My friend, right thoughts produce right actions. Wrong thoughts, second of all, produce wrong actions. Wrong thoughts produce wrong actions. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. This is a Bible study. We will use the scriptures tonight. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your body should be corrupted, so your family should be corrupted, so your path should be corrupted? No. It says, lest your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It is possible to be a saved believer in Christ, a born-again Christian, but have a conformed mind. It is possible to be a Christian on their way to heaven, but have a mind that is corrupted by the things of the world. It is definitely possible. If I were to sit in this room with the 100 other people or so that are in this room, and we were to say that all of us have a transformed mind, we would only be fooling ourselves. For us to try to take on the power of positive thinking, as many would say, and say, I'm just going to do good, but never change the way we think, that is truly unbiblical. I think about the metamorphosis of a butterfly. It starts out as an egg and turns into a caterpillar. And then it turns into a cocoon and then a butterfly. The butterfly is usually in the cocoon for about 10 to 15 days. The process of a butterfly emerging from the cocoon is an extremely grueling process for a butterfly. You learn about that in biology and in different subjects in school like that. But the key to a butterfly actually flying is the fact that it gets out of the cocoon by itself. If there's any outside influence, a butterfly will never fly. The butterfly must get out of the cocoon on its own. And if it can get out of the cocoon on its own, then it will fly. I wonder how many Christians, the reason why we have wrong actions is because our mind is influenced by an outside source. My friend, you will never be able to glorify God until first of all, you get rid of these outside influences. Notice, wrong thoughts produce wrong actions. Having a conformed mind to the world, the Bible says, be not conformed to the world. It doesn't mean that you think about killing people. It doesn't mean that you think about robbing people. It doesn't mean that you have these wicked, terrible thoughts about violence and whatnot. That doesn't mean that. Having a conformed mind just simply means that my mind is shaped and molded by the things of the world. My mind is shaped and molded by the politics, by what we see on Fox News and CNN. We think what they want us to think, by different groups and different associations. Many groups, in case you were, are under a rock. They're trying to get us to think like them because they know if they can get Christians to think like them, if they can get Christians to have their mind, then they know Christians will act like them. How come there are many Christians that you can't tell from a saved person or unsaved person? Why? It's because they think like the world. And if we are going to think differently, it must first start in our mind. There's a life principle. What we think about is what we're going to become. Notice, second of all, the practice. It's a daily renewing. The practice is a daily renewing. Let's look at verse number 2 in Romans chapter 12. The Bible says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, transformation in our life will take place as our mind is renewed daily. A daily renewing is a daily restoring. It's a daily restoring unto right thinking. It's a daily restoring to the things that God wants us to think about. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You see, if you don't commit your works to the Lord, the Bible says God can't establish our thoughts. Notice, first of all, we have a daily renewing through a personal relationship. How is my mind going to be renewed? How am I going to have right thinking in my life? How am I going to think about the right things? It starts with a personal relationship. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Obviously, that's the Apostle Paul speaking. Philippians chapter 3, 13, he says, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended. Notice, but this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. This one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. In a room filled with people, there's no doubt there's been some terrible things that has happened in our past. There's no doubt there's been some abuse. There's no doubt there's been some wrong treatment. There's no doubt there's been some things that we try to forget, but we think that there's no way we can possibly do it. The Apostle Paul said this, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. What would he want to forget? Let's think about the Apostle Paul. He was a killer. There's no doubt he saw bloodshed. He saw the first martyr ever, Stephen. He was part of the mob that killed him. He saw bloodshed. He saw violence. He'd seen the first murder of a Christian. I can only imagine the wickedness the Apostle Paul had seen. He saw some terrible things. But this is what he said. He said, this one thing I do, I forget those things. How could he do it? Verse 10, he says, that I may know him. You see, the Apostle Paul sought to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This was not a Sunday morning thing or a Sunday night thing. This was something that he got to know his Savior. This was not something that some man stood and preached about. This was a God that he knew. And if we have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my friend, there is no forgetting. There is no forgetting the things that have happened to us. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. How? That I may know him. Forgetting simply means not bringing those things to remembrance. I see another person that forgot. The Bible says in Genesis 41 verse 51, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Joseph, wow, he was mistreated. He was thrown in a pit. He was sold by his brothers. He was lied about. He was thrown in prison by Potiphar's wife for the things that had happened, for things that he had supposedly done. He had terrible things happen to him. This is what he said. He said, I've named my first son Manasseh. Why? Because God hath caused me to forget all my toil. Joseph became the second in command in Egypt. And Pharaoh had given him a wife, and the wife had produced two sons with him. There's something we read about the life of Joseph. There's something we read about Joseph that's different from many other people. The Bible says, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him, and God was with him, and God was with him. We read all these things about Joseph. Joseph, he says, the Lord hath caused me to forget. But what we don't realize is that the way that he did this is because God was with him. How is God with the Christian? Through a personal relationship. Through an abiding relationship we read about in John chapter 15. And I'm saying this, Christian, tonight. If we are going to get true victory over our thoughts, there must be a daily renewing. There must be a time where we spend time in the Word of God every day. Because God can never put some right thoughts in your mind if you never read God's thoughts. My friend, we must have a daily renewing. What's the daily practice? How are you going to get victory over your thoughts? How is it going to happen? Through a personal relationship with Jesus. When's the last time God spoke to you? Not at church, but in your home, in your quiet time you spend with God. Do you have a quiet time you spend with God? I want to get victory over my thoughts. I want to have right thinking. Without a personal relationship, we'll never have right thinking. What's the daily practice? First of all, we need to have personal relationship, but second of all, through scripture meditation. To be renewed means to be restored back to right thinking. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We must replace the wrong thoughts with the right thoughts. God says this, if you meditate on Scripture, I will give you good success. Now, success on God's table isn't always the same as success on our table. Many times we think of success with a dollar sign attached to it, or something we can get. But God promises that if we meditate on Scripture, God promised us that we will have success. When I was in high school, I worked for a construction company. Actually, the construction company that remodeled this beautiful auditorium. And I worked in this auditorium day in, day out. God blessed me with that job when I was in high school. I remember when we were sheetrocking these walls. I remember how they were pieced together. I remember how we were sheetrocking the roof and the different places all around this building. If any of you have ever been involved in sheetrocking, it's very dirty. Your clothes get very dusty. Your clothes get very, it's just bad. You get white powder all over. And I would go home and I would have white stuff all over me. And when I would go home, of course I didn't want to hang out all night in these dirty, nasty clothes. So what would I do? Obviously, I would take off my clothes. But think for a second. What if I were to take off my clothes and not put anything back on and walk outside? That wouldn't be very good. That wouldn't be good. I got these clothes that are dirty. I take them off and I don't put anything on. You see, my friend, if we're going to put off the wrong thinking, we must put on the right thinking. If I'm going to put off the wrong things, there must be something that I have to put on. When you wake up in the morning and you take your night clothes off or whatever you're sleeping off, what do? You don't just walk out the house. At least I hope not. You put some clothes on. You make yourself presentable. You take off the clothes at night and you put on the clothes for the day. The Bible says in Psalm 40 verse 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." The psalmist says, God put a new song in my heart. I had an old song, but God gave me a new song. And I'm saying this, if you have wrong thoughts, God wants to replace those thoughts with right things. He wants to replace those thoughts with the Scripture. But we can never get the Scripture in our mind until we first spend time in the Word of God. My friend, if you want to get victory, there must be a daily practice. There must be Scripture meditation. It's not enough to read your Bible in the morning and put it down and say, "All right, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, and then go off and forget about what we read. I'm saying this, victory comes as we meditate on Scripture. What verse today did you meditate on? What verse today did God put in your mind? I can't get right thoughts. I try to. Let's get a replacement. Let's just start meditating on the Scripture. Instead of just reading our Bibles and putting it down, why don't we say, you know what, I'm going to get a verse, I'm going to write that verse down, and I'm going to carry it on some 3x5 card, I'm going to carry something with me so I can go back. When I'm having wrong thoughts, I can say, I'm not going to think that. You know what I'm going to think about? I'm going to think about this verse that God showed me this morning. You see, Christian, I'm saying, this is what it takes to have right thoughts. Some of you have had terrible things in your past come, but the Apostle Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget. Joseph says, I've forgotten all my toil. How has God allowed them to do it? Through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I wonder, how's your relationship? The Bible says in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." What is your thinking filled with? The mundane, the unspiritual, the day-to-day tasks, needless thoughts? I'm just saying we need to saturate our minds with Scripture. I have a cup right here and I have some water. This is very simple. If there was a 7-year-old, I would have them come up and answer this question. But I'm going to fill this up with water right here. Fill this up right to the brim right there. If I were to take a 7-year-old, it's just a little bit left. We'll say it was all the way to the top. If I were to bring a 7-year-old up and I would say, hey buddy, what can I put in that cup? They're going to say, nothing. No. How about this? How about I put some more water? How about I put some Kool-Aid in there? They're going to say, you can't do it. Why can't you do it? Because it's already filled up. Now let's say I have this right here. Now this is about 8 ounces filled. You could fill it up some more. I could fill it up. I could put some rocks in there. Good night. I could take some paper and put it in there. I could put some Kool-Aid in there. I could put some vanilla Coke. Praise the Lord. That's some good soda. I could put that in here. Why? Because it's not filled. But something that's already filled can't have anything else inside of it. Some of our minds are so filled with trash that God has no room to put His Word in there. But on the other hand, those that fill their minds with Scripture, there's no room for anything else. My friend, there's a daily practice. It's a daily renewing. But notice, third of all, notice the promise. Let's notice the promise of Scripture. This is God's will. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, we're going to finish off the verse this evening. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world, we understand it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's going to happen through a personal relationship, through scripture meditation. That why are we going to do it? Why would I want to do that? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we have our minds renewed, we are doing the will of God. What's God's will for my life? What do I do? Have a daily renewing in your mind. I don't know what God... Have a daily renewing in your mind. Folks, if we do that, we are doing the will of God. Notice, first of all, this is God's will and it will glorify God. To please God, we must have a renewed mind. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Wherefore, therefore, ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. God says, whatever I do needs to be done to the glory of God. That includes my relationships, that includes obviously my actions, but that also includes my thoughts. God tells us that if we will have a renewed mind, we are doing the will of God. Have you done the will of God this week? What's your thought life been filled with? You see, your thoughts produce actions. Maybe the reason why some of us aren't having a transformed life on the outside is because on the inside, we're filled with everything but this book. We're filled with everything but what God wants us to. We're filled with how am I gonna get this paycheck? How am I gonna do this? How am I gonna make ends meet? How's all this thing gonna happen? Where am I gonna go? Should I move? Should I stay here? This economy, what's going on overseas? All this stuff, and my mind is filled with all these things. And God says, look, if you will meditate on scripture, Joshua 1:8, I will give you success. But I can't do it until first you meditate. Not only will we glorify God, but we will serve God effectively. We will never serve God effectively until we have a renewed mind. One of the greatest joys in the Christian life is serving God through His local church. Not serving God just haphazardly, but serving God through God's local church. It doesn't matter how big a capacity, it doesn't matter how small, whether you clean the toilets, whether you cut the grass, whether you pass out a bulletin as an usher or take care of a baby in the nursery. It doesn't matter what you do. One of the greatest joys is serving God through His local church. Serving God brings great joy. Our service becomes so much more effective as we think right. Because as my thoughts are right, as I've been meditating on scripture, I say, man, God, you want me to do this, man. Okay, I want to serve more. I want to do this. But when we're not thinking about the things of God, when we're thinking about all this money, all this stuff, all these different issues, it's like, oh, well, I guess I got to go do my duty. Oh, man, let me go do my duty. Okay, all right, time to go home. And it becomes so duty. Our Christian life, our service becomes so duty-filled. Oh, here's church. Oh, got to go to church. Got to make pastor happy. Okay, we're at church. Good. Hopefully In-N-Out. I'm getting me some In-N-Out burger on the way home. Hope she cooked dinner. Hope dinner's going to be good tonight. We're thinking all these things because everything's a duty. Everything's a duty. Our Christian life is nothing more but just a duty. Why? Because we're not meditating on Scripture. Because wrong thoughts simply produce wrong actions. The promise is that this is God's will. God wants to transform our life from the inside out. You see, if I were to get a cut on my arm or a terrible cut, I wouldn't just put a Band-Aid on it. When I broke my ankle 2 years ago, I didn't just wrap it up in a Band-Aid, wrap it up in some wrap 37 times. I didn't do that. The doctors had to actually go inside. They had to put two plates in there. They had to put 12 screws in there. Yeah, I'm not joking around. They had to put 12 screws in my ankle. Why? Because it had to be changed from the inside so it could be used effectively. Church, God wants to use us effectively. But it's only going to happen as it starts inside. Inside the heart. Inside the mind. May the prayer of our church be this verse, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, help my thoughts to be acceptable. God, help what goes on in my mind. Help it to be acceptable. That's the prayer of the psalmist. You want to change the way you act? You want to change the way you handle tough situations? You want to change the way you handle the trials? Change the way you think. It's just a matter of what are our thoughts filled with? What are our thoughts filled with tonight? If they're filled with Scripture, the Bible says in Joshua 1, God will give us success. Romans chapter 12, I'll read it one more time and we'll close it up. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. But how is all this going to happen? How am I going to present my body? How am I going to be holy? How am I going to not conform to the world? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when I do that, the Bible says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to do His will. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and He died on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ gave His blood for us. He gave His life for us. The Bible says that He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. And by receiving Jesus as my Savior, not by coming to church, not by necessarily praying, but by trusting in Jesus Christ, that's how I can go to heaven. Why should I want to give God my thoughts? Because God gave me His life. Jesus Christ gave me His life. So much more should we give God our thoughts. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the attention of the people tonight. I thank You for Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. I thank You that we can have victory in our minds. We can have victory in our actions, but it comes through You. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, just ask a couple questions tonight. First question I'm going to ask is this. How many of you in this room would say, "Preacher, I know for sure if I were to die that I'm going to heaven"? There was a time, like you talk about at the very end of the message, there was a time when I put my trust in Jesus. And I know right now if I were to die, I know that I would go to heaven. There's no doubt about that. If you're saved in here and you know, would you go to raise up your hand? Just as a testimony? Just as a testimony. Good. Good. You can put your hands down. Good. Many of you raise your hands. And I praise the Lord that there are many people that are saved. That's a blessing. How many of you would say, "Preacher, if I were to be honest between you and God with nobody looking around, if I were to be completely honest, if I were to die right now, I don't know where I would go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go somewhere else. I don't know where I would go. But I would like to know." If you say, "Preacher, I don't know where I'm going to go if I were to die tonight." If that's you, go raise up your hand. You're not sure if you go to heaven. Anybody like that all in this room? Anybody? Anybody not sure? Not sure if you're saved. Anybody at all? Okay. Last question is this. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But I want you to very, in the quietness of this moment, I want you to think, has my thoughts been acceptable in the sight of God today? Has my thoughts been acceptable in the sight of God today? Like that cup, our minds are filled with something. I challenge you tonight, change the way you think. Because if we change the way we think, we'll change the way we act. Let's all stand together, and I'm going to have a word of prayer, then I'm going to pass it over to Pastor.